believed, repented, confessed, baptized, and live a faithful life. What else? A person that is devout. A devout Christian, which is always someone who's always at church, reads his Bible daily, prays, and has a God-word attitude, a God-forward attitude, and does that. And when he does that, it's pleasing to God. Some would even say an ideal Christian, if you want to put a title on it. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. And it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The question I want to ask tonight is, do you think that you are a godly person? We have to, as the Bible verse read, we have to train ourselves to be godly, staying away from false religions and, as it says, their silly myths. We can't just think because we are Christians we are godly. Godliness is something we have to achieve, and it has to be our goal. We have to work or train ourselves to achieve that goal. And what I liked about verse 8 there, and it said, while bodily training is of some value, I kind of read that in my own way, that God said it you don't really have to work out. So, yeah, I got that going for me. Are you a goal-oriented person? I like to have goals in my life. I am one of those guys that I like to wake up and I like to have a mission. Whatever it's a list of projects at home to accomplish or a specific project at my job. Or trying to take the shortest lesson in the book and make it 2 weeks. It's always good to have goals. If a person thinks their life is not worthwhile, it's probably because they have no worthwhile goals to achieve. A person who doesn't have goals, what are they doing? That's right, nothing. But I'm going to tell you a profound statement that I learned and that I think that this world that we live in needs to know. You cannot achieve a goal by accident. Michael Jordan didn't become the greatest basketball player ever by accident. Muhammad Ali didn't become the greatest boxer ever by accident. You cannot become a great worker by accident. You cannot become a great son or daughter or husband or wife or friend, a neighbor, a student, a teacher, and especially a Christian by accident. Most importantly, we cannot get to heaven by accident. It takes a continual effort to achieve this goal that we want. God designed us to be goal-oriented. If you look back at the beginning of the Bible, he made us to, Adam and Eve, to conquer environments and to solve problems and to achieve goals. Like I said, from Adam to looking over the Garden of Eden to Moses leading the people out of Egypt and the disciples starting the church. I'm sure there were some problems that came along. God designed us to solve these problems. He wants us to have a goal. He wants us to be goal-oriented. They all had to work hard to achieve their goals as well. There is no better feeling than to finish a list of projects or when the boss comes up and tells you you did a good job on our specific work, or when my wife decides to keep me around for another week because I haven't screwed anything up. It means my hard work paid off. Now, if you look at that second part of 1 Timothy, the chapter 4, the 8, the work that we put in on this planet is good for life that we have right now. It's what we can see. It's what's in front of us. We, like the home projects or the work projects, it's home. But godliness is not just for this life. It's for the life to come. There's no greater goal than God. There's no greater prize than heaven. To have God as our goal, we must seek after him. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. And it says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So at my work, they've been, especially with the story of Brandon, they've been making sure everybody gets their water at work. You know, they have free water they give us. Well, over the past couple of days, we noticed that the water supply has been kind of dwindling down. They had some distribution stuff, so we didn't have any water. I think it was last night. And people were getting pretty upset. Like, mind you, we do have drinking fountains around the building, but to have just a bottle of water that we can take on the equipment and we don't have to go find a drinking fountain. I think of that when I read this verse. It says, my soul thirsts for you. Just imagine, like, super hot days as we had. I remember, well, I think it was Monday, I got home from work and I decided to mow the yard. And at the end, I was just thirsty. I just needed a drink of water. It was something that's the only thing I had on my mind. I wanted a drink of water. Have you ever been that thirsty? That's what we need to be for God. We always need to be thirsting for God. That's a part of being a godly person. Turn with me also to Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. Zephaniah 2:3 reads, Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his justice commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. So it says we need to seek the Lord. We need to not just do his commands, but we need to seek him as well. We need to seek righteousness. As we see in these passages, we are challenged to seek God. Now, who remembers playing hide-and-seek as a kid? I loved hide-and-seek as a kid. Let me ask you this question. Who liked to hide? Did everybody like to hide? Was there anybody that just wanted to find people? I thought Andrew's hand would have went up since he became a cop. I thought, but maybe, yeah, who knows? Maybe that's why you're not a detective, right? Okay. The excitement, I always like to be the seeker. I always like to try to find things because what you have to do is you try to remember the people that you're playing with, but also try to get into their heads. Where's the perfect hiding spot that you think they're going to hide? So our last kids game night, we decided to play hide and seek with the kids, but the adults hid. And the kids needed to find us. And the amount of time that it took to find each adult is how many points that they would get. Let's just say adults have wisdom. We had some good hiding spots. Like it was literally down to we gave them a time limit. It was literally down to the last minute before they found Brooklyn. But it took a little bit to get Brooklyn in her hiding spot. I think Adam had to lift her up into someplace. But yeah, these kids... It was funny. I was one of the first ones found. I tried to hide underneath the desk, and it sounded like a good idea until I got down there, and then I was like, this is a terrible idea. So I think they heard my old man groans more than they, like, yeah. They just turned on the light, and they're like, hey, it's Mr. Jewel. All right. So I came out, and I was waiting for the kids to come back. I'm sitting here, and we said, school building, everything is fair game. That's where the adults were, so fair game. So it's so funny to see them running back this way. And then you can see them in the crow's nest running down to that room and running back, and you hear them down the stairs, up the stairs. They would check spots 3 or 4 times, thinking, well, maybe we should have looked behind this. Maybe we should have looked behind that. They were searching for us. They wanted those points. Thinking about that, do we seek God the same way? Do we get that excited to try to, not only to, hopefully we have found God, but to enhance it by studying the Bible, by doing those godly things that make us a true Christian. When we seek God, we ask two questions. Why are we seeking God? And then how do we seek God? So for the why, it's because God can be found. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. And it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. If you seek God, if you truly want to find God, you will find him. You don't have to look very hard. He's probably right there. You just keep looking past him. And I can remind that of the kids too. I think they went by one adult three or four times before they actually realized, hey, they're right there. Sometimes we just need to stop and realize that God is all around us, and we can find him if we just open our eyes. Next, he can bring rejoicing and gladness. Turn to Psalms chapter 40, verse 16. Psalms 40, 16. It says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. Whenever I'm down, whenever I'm spiritually down, I like to think back to when I came out of the water. That moment to where you felt one with God, you were saved. I mean, I remember that feeling. I love that feeling. I wish I could have that feeling all the time. But unfortunately, like Dave has said many times, and we've said before, like, baptism it's the most important decision you never make, but the part afterwards is where it becomes difficult. But when you can remember that little moment, that gladness that God's bring you, and that's in those times where we don't find gladness, in those times where we feel broken or that there's nothing right going on in the world, that's the moment that we should look to. If you're a Christian, that's the moment that should just feed you into trying to be happier because we're saved, but also to try just to be better people to where maybe we look at life a little differently. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we just need to remember that we're saved. God saved us. He also helps us to understand justice. Proverbs 28:5. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. You ever been cut off in traffic before? You want justice there, don't you? Or if somebody cuts you off, you're like, where's Andrew when I need him? There's always, we're like, where's there a cop? And then like 2 miles down the road after they've already done that, you see a cop and you're like, okay. But what we have to understand as Christians is like, justice is not ours. Now, maybe that person had a completely valid reason to cut me off. I couldn't think of it at the time, but maybe they did. I remember I was out with the boys on Friday. We were having lunch, and we were in the Sam's Club parking lot. And truck pulls out right in front of me. And it's an older gentleman. And I said, I get kind of mad, and the boys are like, Dad, he's old. You can't be mad at him about that. And I said, so what age do you have to stop worrying about traffic laws to where, like, you could be like, he's just old. It's no big deal. And my kids are like, how old are you, Dad? And I said, 44. And they said, 45. Yeah. So 45, apparently. So I got about a month until my birthday. So, yeah. So it's justice. We seek justice, but justice is not ours. Evil men, they want justice, but if we seek the Lord, We know that God has justice, so we don't need to worry about those petty things. We know that God, there's a judgment day for all of us, and we just need to remember that. He also will never, we will never go without when we seek God. Psalms 34:10. Psalms 34:10. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I've seen some of those National Geographic documentaries with the lion eating. They look pretty hungry. Like, that's basically what they do. They just sleep, hunt, and eat. That's what they do. So it's their livelihood. So that's what when the Bible talks about, they want and they hunger. Do we want God the same way? Do we hunger after God the same way? And another thing, when it says, like, we'll lack no good thing, we have everything when we have God. When we're saved, we have everything that we need. I know sometimes we look around and we're in a world of competition, you know. We look over at the neighbor and they have a really cool lawnmower, and I wish I had that really cool lawnmower too. Maybe there's a reason God doesn't want me to have a lawnmower like that. Or it could be anything. So why are we always envious of somebody else? Why do we want everything? Usually, if you look at the people that have about everything, are they really happy? I mean, I look at the people that win the lottery, for say, and you see those horror stories about how fast they blew through it, and just the terribleness that happens in their lives because so many people realize how much money they have. But as me and my wife like to say, I would like to try it for a day, just to see. I mean, it can't bring happiness, but maybe for a day. But no, with God, we don't need those material things. We know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? So we just need to remember that with God, we'll never go without. And the last part of why we seek God is He will bless us. Psalms 119, verse 2. Psalms 119, 2. It says, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. So we are blessed when we seek God with our whole heart. You just have to look around at your blessings. I do that every time I wake up and I see my wife sleeping beside me and I hear two boys snoring down the hallway. And even though I'm up at 2:30 in the morning to go to work and I'm tired, I just want to go back to bed. My work can be frustrating, but it is a blessing. God bless me with that. I have a paycheck. I have things. As most of you know, kids aren't cheap. They are expensive. And when they get to college, it gets worse. But it's always funny when Xander, it was a, I don't know if it's a made-up holiday, but last Sunday was Parents' Day. If you look on the calendar, it says Parents' Day. We just had lunch, and I looked at the boys, and I'm like, Nicole turned around, and I'm like, I said, where's our gift? And Xander's had a job for over a year. His work pays for his he's got a grant, or he got a scholarship. But his work also helps pay for college. We pay for the majority of things because we're, as long as he's at home and as long as he's just getting a college education, that's all we care about. So we pay for the most thing. And every time I asked Zan, I said, you get us something? I said, you got the money now. And he's like, Dad, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm in crippling debt. And I'm like, really? I said, over what? And he's like, I don't know. I'm just in crippling debt. So here's a hug for Parents' Day. But it wasn't even like a good hug. He just came up and kind of did the, like, tap me on the back. And then, of course, you know, Jax had to follow suit. And happy Parents' Day. Yeah. So I guess it's a blessing. It's a blessing, right? So, yeah, when we... we look for blessings, they're all around us. We just have to open our eyes. So the second part about the two questions, how we have to, why we seek God, is how do we seek God? Number one, you seek with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When I see whole heart, I think I did a lesson with the youth group a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about having a part-time faith. Sometimes as Christians, I think sometimes we have a part-time faith. Like we're here, and we're great when we're here. I love church because there's no outside distractions, and everybody's trying to get to the same place, and I have the same book that everybody else does. It's really cool. Great songs to listen to, but as soon as we step out, I don't know if I can say the same when I'm at work. People annoy me. My bosses are always telling me to do things. And that's the time when my faith needs to be there too. I can't look at somebody who annoys me and say, I don't want to ever talk to that person because they just annoy me right now. You all have those coworkers. But that's the person I should be talking to. That's where my faith needs to become not a part-time faith, but a full-time faith. My whole heart. If you seek God with your whole heart, you want everything. You want God to have everything in your life. You want it to be, you want your faith to be not just something that you have, it's something that defines you. To know that, and this has happened before at work where people have come up to me and said, hey, Ryan, I know you go to church. I can't say much, but can you just pray for me? And I'm like, absolutely. And that's all I need to know. Sometimes people just need prayer. And I don't know if they go to church or not, but sometimes people just need prayer. That's a whole heart thing. And I literally stopped right there and I prayed. Like George says, don't just say you're going to pray for him. Actually do it. How do you seek God? With diligence. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. That's how we seek God, diligently. You got to be diligent. You got to make sure that you are not getting distracted easily. We always have our sights on God. Next is with your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. That comes down to the whole heart again, the soul. It's every part of you is seeking after God. Every part of you wants not only your life to have God, but it wants everybody else to have God as well. Then the last part, while he can be found, is how we should see God. We have to find God while he can be found. Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I've had moments in my life where I felt that God was not with me. Whether it be a death in the family I didn't understand, or maybe something that happened in my life that was just devastating. But I think those are those times that God's closest to us. We might think that God's not near us because we always, I don't know why people always want to seem to blame God for all the bad things in the world. Us humans had a part in that too. So, and the majority of the things that happen in life, there's a song by Austin French. It's called Why God? And sometimes we ask that question, why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's because That's who God is. If the world was a perfect place, would we need God? No. God's there for those times, good or bad. I know a lot of those times we don't, a lot of the good times we remember God, I hope we do, and we praise Him for the blessings that we have, but in those tough times, do you remember God? Do you go to Him? It's confusing sometimes. I know I've gone through it in my old life where I seem to blame God for things. Because I think it's easier to blame God than it is to blame myself for the situation that I put myself in. But God is always near us, especially if we're Christians. God is with us. We just have to call out to Him. If we call out, He'll hear us. So why do people not seek the Lord? A bunch of different reasons for that. One, maybe they hate knowledge. I've met a lot of really smart, stupid people in my life. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. They claim to have all the intelligence, but really know nothing. They will tell you how to live your life, but won't listen to a single word you have to say about how maybe they should live their lives. When we seek the Lord, it is because we see something inside of ourselves that we don't like. If you can remember back before you were a Christian. I think that's one of the reasons I realized there was something missing in my life. I didn't get baptized until I was 19 years old. So I had went to church all my life, heard the lessons, heard the sermons, some amazing sermons. I still remember Ed Bousman's sermons at Harlan Church of Christ. Those were amazing, especially when he banged on a... It was a communion thing. It just scared you. If you weren't paying attention, it scared you. But realizing all that, it wasn't until 19 years of age that I realized there was something missing in my life. That I've heard all the steps, I just needed to take that next one. And it was on me. God put all the information in front of me. I just need to take that next step. If people were always happy, they wouldn't seek God. They wouldn't need God. The knowledge is knowing that we are sinners and that we have not been living right. I don't know if you know this, but I don't think people like admitting that they made mistakes in their lives. We're not one of those people that like to look at ourselves and say, hey, maybe I've done some wrong things. And it's even worse for those who are so full of themselves that they can't see the mistakes that they are making. But to truly be godly, we must realize who and what we are is nothing, and God is everything. The equation is God equals first equals always. That's what it should be. It should be obvious by now that to be godly is having a right relationship with God and maintaining that relationship day to day. It is to live daily doing what would please the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. Now, our daily walk should include the following. So, walking in the light and not in the darkness. Turn with me, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We have to walk in the light. To be in darkness is to be in sin. And to know that we are in that darkness, why not just turn on the light? And that light is Jesus. And then the amazing thing about that is that we become the light. We become the light to somebody else's darkness. We can be that. Next, we need to realize that we are cleansed by His blood. The next verse there, 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are cleansed by his blood. I love that song. Cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs for Jesus. Confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you come out of that baptismal, when you come out, you are clean. White as snow. I know sometimes after a couple of days, snow may be not so white. But when it first falls, it is a beautiful sight. It is white as snow. We have to keep his commandments. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know him if we keep his commandments. He's given us rules. We have to follow them. And that's, if we are a true child of God, we listen to our parents. We listen to Jesus. We listen to make sure that we do the right things. We need to love our brethren. 1 John 2:10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Now, I know those who have brethren or brothers. I have one. Sometimes I do not like him very much. But he's a Christian, and that's what I'm most proud about, most happy about. But when the brethren here, they're talking about everybody here. And I know sometimes we're like a big family. We can get on each other's nerves. Things might be said, but just know we're all trying to get to the same place. And even though I may not talk to you, I love you. That's what my wife tells me sometimes. I'm just sure it's true. So, but it's a family. And if you can't get along with them here, how are you going to get along with them in heaven? I think I've heard that saying way too many times. Next, we have to be doing the will of God. 1 John 2:17. And this world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And then we have to show our faith. 1 John 2:23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Are you showing your faith? Are you being there for those who need it? Are you in those times when the devil wants you to go a certain way or to say a certain thing or maybe to act a certain way? Are we showing our faith? Are we being that good steward? Are we being that good Christian that we need to be? We also need to practice righteousness. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And lastly, do you love in truth? 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you remember earlier when I asked you if you thought you were a godly person? That's the challenge I want to give to you tonight. That's what I want you to think about tonight. Do you think that you're a godly person? It is essential to recognize that you are a godly person. If you're not, maybe some things need to change. And it's never too late to change. That's one of the amazing things about God. It's never too late to change. If you are a godly person, as some say, keep up the good fight, right? Wake up every day, try harder, be better, pray harder, be a better person. That's it. Any questions, comments? I know I didn't have any of you read verses, so I kind of gave you a night off. So, but if I'm up next week, I think it'll just be you guys reading verses to me the whole time. But, all right, thank you guys.